Today's The World Around Us will be presented in Hebrew and English with subtitles in Arabic, Olaxis or Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Hebrew, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Malay, Mongolian, Persian, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish and Thai. בשנת 1974, במדבר יהודה, בהריסות קומראן, התרחש אחד הגילויים הארכיאולוגיים הגדולים ביותר של המאה ה-20, מגילות ים המלח. הגילוי של הכתבים המקוריים הוא מאוד משמעותי, מאחר וזה מאפשר לנו לאמת את המקוריות של הכתבים המודרניים שלנו, ולראות ביתר פרטים מה היה בבסיס של אמונות רבות. המדריך שלנו, הפרופסור המכובד יובל פלג, ארכיאולוג, ראש מחוז הרשות לעתיקות הישראלית של עמק הירדן, מומחה בולט אשר ביצע חפירות מקיפות בקומראן במשך שנים רבות.
The meaning of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's the most ancient document of the Bible. Actually, parts of the Bible, and maybe there are some connection to the ancient Christianity, and for sure how the Judaism looked like when the temple still exists in Jerusalem. That's why it's so important for us as Jews and for the world. This is the most ancient parts of the Bible we ever found in archaeology. We are in a very dry area. Not much rain, the temperature is stable almost all the year, and several years ago we did some exams in order to preserve the scrolls. We put some equipment inside the caves in order to see if there are changes in the humidity and the temperature inside the caves, and it's stable all the time. That's why it is dry, a stable temperature, that's how the scroll remained for such a long time. The scrolls are now in Jerusalem, in the labs, they're under control of the Israeli Antiquities Authority, and they control everything, the humidity, the heat, in order to preserve these scrolls. That's one of the most important finds in archaeology of Israel, and it's very important to preserve these scrolls for the next generations.
בין הספרים של מגילות ים המלח ישנם ספרים מוכרים מהתנך העברי או מהברית הישנה, כמו ישעיהו, בראשית ותהילים. אך יש גם ספרים אחרים, כמו כללים קהילתיים, מזמורים לחג ההודיה, החוק של הקהילה. מי הייתה הקהילה הזאת? היום אנו נחקור את ההריסות של קומראן כדי לגלות לא רק על המגילות יקרות הערך, אך גם על התרבות והאנשים אשר פעם עבדו והתגוררו כאן.
We're now about 2 kilometers north of the site of Qumran, and behind me is the cliff. We can see lots of caves. One of these caves, the first scrolls were found by a Bedouin in 1947. The two scrolls were brought by this Bedouin to an antique dealer in Beit Lechem, and then bought by Professor Sukenik, who published these two scrolls. It's a very quiet area with lots of caves in the cliffs. We can't enter the caves now because of the animals and the wild animals that are using these caves now. But the caves were used by people in different periods along the history. And mainly in the Second Temple period, sometimes you can find pieces of clothes and ropes, because it's a very dry area, and even seeds like olive sea fruits, like olives, pomegranate, dates, that people used to eat in these caves while they were in this area. Sometimes you can find coins from that period, jewelry. Most of the scrolls are found in these two caves. The traditional theory regarding Qumran talks about the Essenes who sat here and wrote the scrolls. And actually, several of the scrolls about the Essenes and their way of living as a community, eating together, praying together, and sitting in groups in different communities all around the country. The site was excavated at first in the early 50s by a French archaeologist, Roland Devaux. So when he excavated the site, the biggest room at the site must be the dining room, or as he called it, the refectorium, a Latin word used usually for monasteries. The second big room was the place where they sat and wrote all the scrolls, and he called it the scriptorium. They lived together, they ate together, they wrote together, everything was communal.
מאז החפירה הארכיאולוגית של האב, רולנד גרן דבו, דעות נוספות עלו לגבי אתר הקומרן, למשל, שזה היה מרכז מסחר או בית כנסת ליהודים. ישנם כמה שקישרו זאת לנוצרים הראשונים ויוחנן המטביל.
They are saying that John the Baptist was here in the area. We know that he lived somewhere in this area. He baptized Jesus in the Jordan, north of the Dead Sea. We don't know if he was a part of what we have in Qumran, if it was a sect or not. That depends on what you believe. You can divide the scrolls into two different groups. Some scrolls are just books from the Bible, just while almost the same that we know today. That's most of the scrolls. And we have other books that can be related maybe to the Essenes or maybe to other groups or sects in the Judaism, maybe the first Christians, Jesus and his students. There's lots about the way of living, the way how they see the future, how they see what's happening now during their time.
האיסיים חלקו הכל באופן שווה. הם היו בעלי חינוך ומומחים בריפוי עם צמחי מרפא. הם היו צמחוניים ומעולם לא נגעו באלכוהול. בהתאם ליוספוס, הם חיו חיים ארוכים באופן מדהים ובריאים במשך 120 שנה. ההיסטוריון היהודי מהמאה הראשונה, יוספוס פלביוס, תיאר את היום של האיסיים להלן. לפני הזריחה הם לא דיברו דבר והדברים היומיומיים, אלא רק תפילות מסוימות קדומות אל השמש. אחרי שהם עבדו ללא מאמץ עד השעה החמישית, הם שוב התאספו באזור אחד, היכן שהם חגרו את כיסוי הפשטן ושטפו את גופם במים קפואים. אחרי התיאור הזה הם התאספו באולם פרטי, אשר אלה שמחזיקים בתפיסות אחרות לא הורשו להיכנס אליו.
We know that most of the Jews during that period believed in the same or did the same things as Jews today. But we know also that there were groups that did different things, praying towards the sun, different days, but main ceremonies are the exact ceremonies as today. Ritual baths are the same ritual baths as today. They used to make bowls and cups out of stone because stone remains, in according to the Jewish law, remains pure.
בנקודה מסוימת תעשיית תמרים מתוקים ותעשיית כדורות פרחה במקום זה. עבור הפעילויות שלהם המגוונות, הם ניהלו משק מים, מקור טהור, בצורה טובה מאוד.
The floods in the wadi to collect the water and to bring them to the site. The wadi is over there, and from the wadi they built a dam and they took the water until the beginning of the aqueduct and through the aqueduct into the site. They realized that inside the water there are lots of materials that are suitable for making pottery vessels. So they moved the water from cistern to cisterns until the good material sank in the cisterns and they used it for making pottery vessels. And that's what we're going to look and to see in the site. We're standing next to the aqueduct, the main aqueduct that led water from the wadi to the site. And from the cliffs they built a wide aqueduct, and it goes in an angle to the site in order to collect all the rainwater from this area. This is the enter of the aqueduct into the site. The main aqueduct enters the site, and from here the aqueduct leads the water and divides it into several cisterns along its way until the final aqueduct, the final cistern on the southeastern part of the site, where the clay, the pure clay, was sunk in this pool and was used by the inhabitants for pottery production.
אלפי פריטי חרס נמצאו בקומראן, כולל כלים לבישול, הגשה, מזיגה, שתייה ואכילה. אותו סוג של כלי חרס מיוחדים נמצאו גם באזורי המגורים, במערות עם המגילות. עובדה אשר גם מדגימה את הקשר בין השניים.
These rooms were divided by the inhabitants into small pools, like these pools here. And inside these pools they used to put the clay from the cisterns, mix it with water and different materials in order to make it more flexible. And then the potter took the clay from here and made the vessels out of it, the bowls, the jars, the cooking pots, and all different pottery vessels that were made. When De Vaux excavated the site in the 50s, he found this room on the southern part of the site, the biggest room at the site, and he believed that this is the place where the Essene, the sect, sat and ate together their meals. After we excavated the parts of the site, we believe that this room, the biggest room at the site, must be the site where the potters sat and make all the pottery vessels before they took them to the kilns. And after they burnt in the kilns, they used to store sell them in the markets in Jericho and Jerusalem or in other sites in the area. The clay sank in these pools. The potter took this clay, mixed it with other materials, made the pottery vessel and burnt it in these kilns. These two kilns are two out of eight kilns all over the site. This is the first cistern at the site of Qumran, where the first water were entered. And this is actually a ritual bath. The Jewish law talks about purity. And in order to be pure, you must bath yourself in a ritual bath. And you became clean both physically and spiritually. So that's why we have two different staircases. Just imagine that I'm one of the inhabitants of the site during the Second Temple period, and I want to pure myself in the ritual bath, so I'm going down on one direction. After I bath myself, when I'm pure, I'm going out in different staircases.
תודה תודותינו, פרופסור פלג, רשות העתיקות לישראל וכל האחרים העובדים להעלות את הבנתנו על קומראן ומגילות ים המלח. תודה שהבאתם לחיים את תושבי קומראן העדיקים, העולמיים והמוכשרים. הלוואי וממצאים כאלה של מורשת עתיקה זו ימשיכו להביא ידע מועיל ויעודדו נס. צופים אדיבים, תודה לכם על חברתכם בתוכנית היום. אתה, בבקשה יישארו מכוונים לטלוויזיה סופרים מאסטר, לבידור מהיר עיניים שישודר מיד לאחר חדשות ראויות לציון. הלוואי ותהיו עם שמחה ולב טהור. Gracious viewers, thank you for your company for today's program. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for enlightening entertainment, coming up next after Northworthy News. May you go with joy and purity of heart.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/EE.